AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Matt Hunter. Hunter, what's up with all the Sasquatch porn, dude?
I know.
I didn't think I would be starting the show with this, but this started with a Virginia Republican is running for office. I don't know what office he's running for. He's a state senator, I think it is, maybe. And on his social media pages, he has a picture of Bigfoot. Now, okay. Yeah. All right. Sure. Now, we remind you, we just had a story last week where the evangelicals now think Bigfoot's the devil. He's a devil. But now, apparently, he is appearing in a pay-per-view channel with his own films, because the image of the Sasquatch on this Republican GOP social media page is not only anatomically correct, which is a little disturbing on its own, but Bigfoot apparently is the Lanceman of Bohemia. This is apparently a fairly well-endowed Bigfoot that they put on his social media page as, I don't know, a conversation starter? I don't know. But I want to thank Panorama for Panorama for sending me the complete unedited list of Bigfoot pornography that exists out there. Oh, you like it furries, but a little more camping style and rough. Well, have I got something for you to see, kids? I don't know. Okay, so yes, when I was in college, needed some money, some modeling gigs came open. Sure, I did a little posing. Not proud of it, but I needed the money. It's a shame how this keeps coming back to bite me, Matt.
You do remember that your show logo is a Bigfoot.
Yes, it is. No, I'm full. Trust me. Trust me. After the comments and messages I've received today, I'm very much aware the sexy Sasquatch roams the stupidity void once again here. And, all right. That was not something I was expecting to come out to start on a Monday. I really wasn't here. I will say, did you have a nice weekend? Did you get out and enjoy it at all?
Yes, I had a busy weekend. What'd I was working the Indivisible booth at Chaska River City Days.
Nice, nice. Well done. How was it? Good fun down there?
Yeah.
All right. Hello, everyone down in Chaska. I did a few things this weekend. I got out of town, went and helped a DFLer in a Republican district outstate.
Oh, good job.
Did some door knocking. Can I say this? One of the things which I have come across multiple times is how many times I have knocked on a person's door and the first thing they say is, "You are the first Democrat who has knocked on my door in 20 years. We have conceded these territories for way too long. We need to get people into these districts, help go door knock across these districts, and help these candidates out there, because I'll tell you what, we can pick up a bunch of those seats. Mm-hmm. I am convinced, because every conversation I had ended up basically saying, well, I'll think about the Democrats this time. And I was like, great, good enough, thank you much. Off we went. So I also got a chance, I went down, it is remarkable, as a man who's from the Twin Cities, born here, spent a good chunk of my time here. One of the things which is remarkable is how they finally have renovated the downtown. In my lifetime, they have, there was the Crystal Court was supposed to be change everything downtown. They had the shopping districts downtown, and I remember all the shopping stores that used to be on Nicollet. But outside of Nicollet, and they had to spend a ton of money to keep Nicollet clean. That was a rough, downtown Minneapolis was rough. Hennepin Avenue was a mess. Hennepin Avenue was a mess for years and years and years and years. No one wanted to be downtown or by the riverfront. Are you kidding me? And north of the river? Oh, my God. Are you insane? And they tried. The Crystal Court was one. City Center was one. The Block E was a big one. Gavaday, I remember when they tried that. My wife actually made the point. She goes, it was when the Target came in. that's when things changed downtown. And you know what? I think she's right. When they had relatively, you know, convenient and everyday retail pop up. And don't get me wrong, they at one time did, but just people weren't moving downtown. At that point, the run to the suburbs was on. But when all those businesses went out and really all you had was a handful of shopping stores, and they kept trying to bring businesses downtown and trying to bring businesses downtown, when Target moved their corporate headquarters there and they basically built that big store downtown, that's when things changed. And now I was down walking in the St. Anthony area and basically was just walking down there, and it was as busy as Lake Calhoun. It was as busy as Lake Harriet. And I said, I can't believe this. It is just truly amazing how the downtown of Minneapolis has completely rejuvenated itself. And it's magnificent to see. Now we have more retail downtown. It's good to see. Glad to be part of this town. I'm really happy to be down here. But I will bring up one point this weekend. You didn't go over to the WNBA All-Star game that was over at Target Center, did
you?
No. I was thinking about it until what? Until, hey, 35W is closed down. I'm not going to go anywhere near the downtown tonight. Are you kidding me? And I went, and then when all of a sudden it dawned on me afterwards, I went and looked on Sunday at the attendance numbers. Now, Target Center seats about 19,000. They only had 16,000 people show up for an All-Star game. Now, granted, the WNBA is a bit of a fringe league. Although, if you're going to have a league, this town loves the WNBA. They love the Lynx. They have been very big supporters of them. They have sold, I do believe they've sold out more than a few of the games over there. This would seem to me to be a no-brainer that you would sell it out in Minnesota. And so I wonder how many people like myself were like, should we go down to the All-Star game? And I was like, no, you know what? No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to mess with all that traffic. 35. This seems to me, to a point, maybe some of the worst planning I've ever seen. If you've got a major event, and let's call it, I mean, that's a major event. It's a sports league is having their All-Star game in your downtown. How do you shut down one of the four major roads, or five, 394, 94 East, 94 West, 35W South, 35W North? How do you shut down probably the biggest of those roads during that time? I mean, how does no one go over the calendar and say, well, we probably should avoid shutting it down on the WNBA weekend? And I don't know.
And I know the Southwest Transit here in the Southwest Metro, I didn't see any advertising that they would have any buses or anything. Maybe they did, but I keep up to date with that because I use it often. I didn't see anything for the All-Star game.
Well, I wonder a little bit about the whether or not that impacted the turnout, because I don't think it shines too well on Minneapolis to have an All-Star game here and we can't sell at Target Center. I mean, I don't think that does us any good for our reputation and for the image of the city. And frankly, you could put that in Los Angeles, they'll sell out Staples. You could put it in New York and you probably sell out Madison Square Garden. You put it in Boston, they'll sell out Boston Garden. But you put it here and, you know, you should be able to get 19,000 in a city of 3.5 million people, you should be able to get 19,000 people down. So why didn't the people go down for this? Well, I think, you know, part of it, maybe it is a bit of a fringe sport, but at the same time, we've supported the WNBA. I think I'm wondering how much that shutdown of 35W impacted the turnout to that game. And that's a shame. That should not have happened. I think they should have given every opportunity for that to succeed. And it's a shame that they shut that down. That's just me. Jeff is in Prior Lake. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Hey, Matt, how are you? I just wanted to amplify your point on, first, before we get to the door knocking, the traffic. About 3 weeks ago, I decided to do a noon game at the Twins. Very excited about it. Went with two coworkers. It was a noon game, got down about 10 to 12. Wow, parking lots are closed. Started driving around. The roads are closed. 45 minutes later, I find a parking spot on the other side of Nicollet Mall. I called the one guy that we hadn't gotten a hold of, and he's at the rooftop of Craves. So by the time we get to Craves, it's 1:05. And I was so smoking hot, it wasn't funny. I didn't go to the game. I sat there at Craves, and I watched it on TV, and I thought, shame on you, Twins. You didn't say anything about parking. You didn't give me any heads up about where to go or what to do. You didn't give me any warning. And as a result, you didn't sell three tickets that you could have sold.
Well, there's got to be more coordination and more planning of this stuff. And you know, I would say this is that if you're the city, it's harder to shut down with the Twins because the Twins have the 81 games. You got to get some construction done. But I would agree with you that the Twins then need to be more forthright and the organization needs to be more forthright with the customers to basically make sure the fans know about the delays. The other – when it comes to the WNBA, I think that's more on the MnDOT and the city, and they're saying, you know, no. That weekend's off limits. You cannot shut that down. We've got an all-star game in town. You can't shut it down. It's a lack of planning, a lack of coordination. I think regardless of the situation or where it might initiate, I think both of those, you know, highlight that issue.
And as normal, Matt, I agree with you 150,000,000%. Now, going on to the door knocking, I was a delegate for Bernie Sanders. I think I'm going to, as you said, a Democrat better win. If my Democrat was, I was a delegate for Bernie, I then did what I could for him. This year around, I wanted Erdman. He didn't make it. Angie Craig did it. My guy didn't win. That's okay. I want Angie to win. It's got to be a Democrat. If you don't vote because your guy didn't make it in, then you're not a Democrat. I don't know what you are. Maybe you're an independent, but you're not a Democrat. So let's go to the door knock. I want a door knock, but I don't have the intestinal fortitude to do it. I've never done it before. If you could let us know when and where you door knock, I'll show up with my wife and my 8-year-old and I'll do it. But well, I only have the courage to do it if you're around.
Here's what I'm going to suggest, Jeff. Thank you very much. Here's what I'm going to suggest. If you just go into MnPost, by the way, MnPost has a great rundown of the House races. It's on their front page. You click on that. You can see all the races and who's running. Find a district. I've said this. I said this on Friday. I'm saying this again. It's not my job to go tell you who to support. And this is when I go and do this, I'm not doing this as radio host Matt McNeil. No, I'm going as Matt McNeil, Minnesotan. I'm going out and just doing this on my own. And I do not feel as if my job is here to tell you which Democrats to vote for. That is not my job. All right, you go educate yourself and vote for the guy that you want or the woman that you want. And if the man or woman that you want doesn't win the primary, well, then, you know, I understand that sometimes can be frustrating, but vote Democrat, for goodness sakes. If we vote not just for the people that we want to win, but to prevent horrible people from winning. And trust me, have you seen the Republican lineup in this state? Sweet Jesus. Anyway, go find a candidate that you like. Go find a candidate that you want to support and get – and once again, if you are in a competitive district in the cities, you know, I can understand you want to mainly focus on your district. That's perfectly fine. But if you're in one of these districts where they're not even running a Republican, and the last time that they've had an election, the closest they get is 70-25, well, then you probably can take some time out of town, go out into rural Minnesota, find these great candidates, these great DFLers, and they are Democrats. They are out there, and they're trying to take these seats, and they need people. So if you could go on out there, that would be I think a really good thing. And find the candidates that you support and get out there by all means. And there's a lot of them, by the way. If you go to that MnPost site, there's a lot that are not being primaried, and that you can go find where they're at and get in touch with their campaigns. I guarantee you they'll find a way for you to come up and door knock, or at the very least go do a county fair or go do a parade. Pat is in Prior Lake. Let's take Pat really quick before we get to the break. Welcome on in, Pat.
Hi, Matt. Love your show and listen to it. You do a great job.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to give a 2 cents worth with regard to the blocking of 35. Obviously difficult. And the gentleman that said they should have done a better job of maybe saying buses available and other things. But you've got to give them a little bit of slack. It's a progression thing. And they could have, they need to get the pilings put down for a certain time, and they only got limited time to do it. So I just wanted to give them a defense. And then one other, as a buddy of mine from Iowa said, well, Minnesota takes care of their roads. I'm very appreciative of that. So,
well, they do. And
your points are very valid.
Hey, Pat, thank you very much. And I don't want, this is not knocking on the people that are out there working. I mean, they get the call. But I'm not going to say, let's not say like the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, if that was in town in the summer, or the MLS soccer. Would you shut down I-94 when we get that brand new Minnesota United Stadium over on Snelling Avenue there? Would you shut down 94 if the Major League Soccer was having their All-Star game in that stadium? Would you shut down that highway for that weekend and just sort of say, oopsie, I guess you have to take university? No, of course not. I think that this is just, I think, a short-sighted this, and I think it might be just MnDOT saying, well, the WNBA, what does that matter? It's not the X Games. We will, you know, we wouldn't do this over the X Games, but, you know, the WNBA, that's just what? That's a fringe league. I disagree. And like I said, I think it makes us look bad as a hosting city when you can't sell out Target Center for an All-Star game. I don't care what the sports league is. I think that makes us look bad. And that's just me. And I think part of the reason why is people avoided the downtown because 35W was shut down. 952-946-6205. I'll get to the news of the day when we do return. The decision not to file charges in the latest shooting in Minneapolis. We'll get to that in a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Summer is the season to clean. For roof, siding, garage floors, decks, and more, Blue Sky Services can help you out. Anything that can be power washed, Blue Skies can safely soft wash. A power washing alternative that doesn't damage your home. So don't wait until it's too late and you need to replace things. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. And tell them that you're an AM 950 listener to save up to $100 in July only. That is 651-447-4484. Call now to save on July services.
I'm Richard Painter, and I'm running in the DFL primary for the U.S. Senate. I believe we're at a critical juncture in our nation's history. Our democracy is under siege by the Trump administration. Foreign influence is unchecked as politicians exploit power for private gain rather than the public good. But what is happening right now is a symptom of a larger disease. The corruptive influence of money in politics makes government unresponsive to the people. For 25 years, I have been speaking out against corruption on Wall Street and in Washington. Now I want to fight for you in the United States Senate. I will fight foreign-owned mining companies seeking to pollute our waterways. I will fight against money and politics and corruption on all levels of government. I will fight to initiate investigations and hearings for the treasonous behavior of President Trump. It's time to impeach. Please support me in the DFL primary on August 14. See all the issues at PainterMinnesota.com. I'm Richard Painter, and I approve this message.
Ad prepared and paid for by Painter Minnesota.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off the menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermoes.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. No charges will be filed against two Minneapolis police officers who fatally shot an armed Thurman Blevins during a foot chase last month. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman announced Monday. Witness testimony, the officer's body camera video, and forensic testing all proved that Blevins had a 9mm semi-automatic handgun in his hand and refused multiple commands to drop the gun during the foot chase that ended in his death on June 23rd. Freeman said in a statement, according to the State Bureau of Criminal Apprehension investigative report released by Freeman, Blevins fired once from his handgun, but it's not clear whether he or the officers fired first. When Mr. Blevins fled from the officers with a loaded handgun, refused to follow their commands for him to stop and show his hands, and then took the gun out of his pocket and turned towards the officers, Mr. Blevins, representing a danger to the lives of the officer Justin Smith and Officer Ryan Kelly. The statement quoted Freeman as saying their decision to use deadly force against Mr. Blevins under those circumstances was authorized under the law. there's a lot to dissect here on this decision by Freeman. And the reason why is because, and I know that this is going to, you know, might upset some people out there, but I want to make sure I'm very clear about one thing from the get-go. Is it legal to shoot a man who fires a gun into the air? Is that an instant death sentence in the United States of America? No, it's not. That if a man would have been thief or false, and he fired his gun into the air, whether intentionally or accidentally, that the police do not have the, or should not at least, should not have the legal precedent to just drive up and just kill the guy. That you know, in the case of an accidental firing of a weapon, that that's not an instant death penalty. So, you know, this is not about whether or not the individual shot the gun in the air. We can question whether or not their approaching of the suspect was appropriate. I think that that's a very viable thing, but that's not why Mr. Blevins was shot. Do you shoot someone as a police officer because they're running away? You shouldn't. You shouldn't. If a police car pulls up to a park and a guy runs away, that should not be the where-all, end-all. That all of a sudden police don't just pull their guns and start firing at the guy because he's running, because he might have done something. The justification to fire on someone who is running with their back turned is not there. Both of those elements of this story did take place, but those were not the justification. The body cam footage clearly shows a gun. Now, a lot of people that were very upset about this from the get-go insisted Blevins didn't have a gun. He did. What his intent was, we'll never know. But at the same time, a gun appeared, and they know that they're following a guy that fired a round off already. I am not of the mindset that a police officer should not have fired in that circumstance. And once again, you have to look at Freeman. As much as you might not like Freeman, this is state law. The Republicans in the state have basically made, if you want to commit murder, go become a police officer, because you can commit murder basically as a police officer. They've written a law where the burden of evidence against a police officer has to be so outrageous that, you know, the Republicans in the state have basically said, if you want to murder someone, you go become a cop. You can become a cop, and then basically you can be drunk off duty, and as long as you can say, I was scared, that you can shoot them. That's not what happened here. Blevins is running. He's already fired off a shot. There is a gun. These guys had to make a decision. But we have to have a discussion about this further. On multiple levels, the very next line, and this is something that I am very bothered by. This is, by the way, the Star Tribune story. The officers fired 14 shots from their weapon, four of which struck the 31-year-old Blevins. 14 rounds. You fired 14 rounds in an urban environment at a suspect. What, was the artillery not ready to fire from 30 miles away on the guy? Couldn't you get a warthog to come streaming on in and spray the street? 14 freaking rounds? 14? It's not a zombie movie, okay? Zombies don't exist. The end of Die Hard is not real. Guys don't take 50 rounds of bullets and still keep coming at ya. One round to that leg, that guy's down. Now, I'm not saying that that guy's out, but a bullet enters your leg. Bone, muscle, veins, skin, fat are blasted apart. He's not standing. He's not hobbling around like it's some movie. He's down. Doesn't mean that he might not swing the gun around, but at the same time, whatever happened to taking the leg shot first? There is a level of irresponsibility on display here. For God's sakes, I was in the Army. To pass my military gun test, you had to get 22 out of 40 shots. 22 out of 40. I usually is around 33, 34. And granted, I know I'm not chasing after some guy, but I'm also firing at targets that are 400 feet away from me, 350, 300, 250, 200. I'm not 10 feet behind, 20 feet behind a guy as he's running. 14 rounds? 14 rounds. You're damn lucky you didn't kill a bystander. I mean, isn't the argument that you're there to investigate this guy because he fired one round into the air? What was this, a doubling down? You're going to just fire 14 rounds in an urban environment? Didn't we just have a woman who was in a situation where there was an armed gunman holding her in Whole Foods? It was a Whole Foods or something like that, and she got killed, and initially the police said, she was killed by the gunman. No, she was killed by the police, who fired indiscriminately at the situation. 14 rounds? I'll also make the point here before I get into the bottom of the hour break that, in my opinion, the minute there was a black man with a gun, there was no way in the world that he was not going to end up dead at the end of that. And it's also my firm belief that if this is a white guy with a gun, he would still be alive today. I'll break those down a little bit more for you in just a moment. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. 14 rounds. 14. And by the sounds of it, they weren't trying to stop the guy. They were trying to basically kill him. 14 rounds? You fired 14 rounds at this guy. And you missed 10 of them. Wow, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Randy, I'm going to let you know I got a lot more to get to, including some insanely foolish comments from Bob Kroll, the police union head. I got to get to those as well. Also, the fact that he was saying, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot in the video. Like I said, if he was white, he'd be alive. That's my personal belief, and I'll stand by it. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Everybody, make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week, Nightingale. Fantastic restaurant. They keep winning a lot of awards there. 2551 Lindale Avenue, South of Minneapolis. Locally sourced food and beer. and great vegetarian options. It is Nightingale, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. So let me once again reiterate what I have just said. Considering the law in Minnesota, this shooting was justified because the gun was out and the gun was in his hand, and in the law in Minnesota, that's basically enough for these police officers to gun you down. My first huge problem is 14 freaking rounds. Who tells you to unload your clip? It's not a movie. It's not the freaking Walking Dead. A bullet is coming out of the muzzle of a gun, spinning at an incredible rate. It hits flesh and it annihilates it. It leaves a hole where there was a leg bone, doesn't exist anymore. I don't know why you do not have police officers getting trained to try to take a leg shot to stop someone in that circumstance. I do not know why, but I sure as hell have no answer to why officers are unloading 14 freaking rounds in an urban environment where children and other innocent people are around them and thinking that that's a responsible unloading of their weapon. For goodness sakes. Like I said, that's not even the one third of the time hitting your target. You hit them only four times, you shot 14. I mean, if anything, it points to a definitive need for remedial weapons training for Minneapolis police. If you think that this is an effective use of your weapon, what are you thinking? God, my drill sergeant would have beat the crap out of me if I had such a poor rate of return on target shooting. You have a guy with a gun. I get that. You're going to shoot at the guy. All right, fine. Under the law, you are within your rights. But then to turn it all of a sudden into the OK Corral. Blevins seated on a curb near a woman with a child in a stroller. One officer says, "He's got a gun." Blevins jumps up and runs. As the police yell, "Stop, stop." Now, once again, that's what you first run up to him. You know what the suspect looks like. You know what the suspect is. There's a guy, there's a gun out there. That doesn't seem like negating the situation, the stress of the situation. Going up there and screaming, "He's got a gun." But that's what they yell. Blevins jumps up and runs. Police yell, "Stop, stop, put your hands up. I'll blanking shoot you." Blevins yells back, "I didn't do nothing, bro. Please don't shoot. Leave me alone." Investigators say both Kelly and Blevins fired their weapons, and an autopsy showed Blevins was hit multiple times in the case. Now, once again, I want to just make sure we very much understand, because we have seen this case numerous times. White guy with a gun, they don't jump out of the car going, "He's got a gun!" Without a doubt in my mind, if Blevins was white, I think that he'd be alive right now. Without a doubt in my, that's my personal opinion. I have a hard time believing this. And you cannot blame the African-American community for getting violently upset with this, because this is just for centuries, for decades, they have been screaming African-Americans get treated differently than whites. And the entire time it was like, "No, they're just exaggerating." And then all of a sudden, "He's a demon! He was a demon! I had to shoot the demon!" What the hell is wrong with you? And then tape after tape after tape shows up. They've gotten to the point where their first natural reaction is, "Well, he was another one that just didn't deserve to get gunned down and got gunned down." The problem is that he did have a gun. And I know a lot of people did not want to believe that, did not want to accept that, did not want to acknowledge that. But at the time of the shooting, it did not look like a secure situation. And the officers, once again, with the law of the land, as it stands, they were within their right. I can question the first approach. I can question the amount of rounds that were fired. But then police union president Bob Kroll stepped in. Police body cam video released Sunday shows Minneapolis officers had no choice but to shoot Thurman Blevins, Minneapolis Police Union President Bob Kroll said on Monday. No, they had other choices. They just didn't want to go with them. The choice, there's only one choice when it comes to African-American men and a gun. We saw it with Yanez, and we saw it here, is that, just fire randomly And, you know, if you hit the guy a few times, well, it's justified. I think that if you would, I mean, I don't know, weapons training, teaching them how to take a guy, a runner in front of them out, take a, you know, shoot them in the leg, that will stop them right there. But that was never apparently an option. So to me, I don't know if you can necessarily say they had no choice but to shoot Blevins. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. They were forced to fire on the suspect only after he pointed the gun and fired at the officers. Now, that is, that's a incredibly liberal interpretation of what's on the camera. They're not quite sure when the gun went off per se. But needless to say, under state law, from what Blevins was doing, it was a justified shooting at that point. But once again, we get this, he was a demon mentality starting to creep into the story. Or Jamar Clark, I want to die now. Oh, really? Oh, okay. He chastised those, and this is where Kroll basically crosses a line, which basically he says, I don't care about you black people in Minneapolis and what you say. You basically have crossed too many lines, and I will, and he goes this way, I will lock you up because I want to. Now, let me explain what he says here. Kroll told reporters on Monday that he chastised those who questioned whether Blevins had a weapon and whether officers had a shot. He urged prosecutors to pursue criminal charges against witnesses who said Blevins did not have a gun. Wow! Really? No, seriously. Really? We're going to just start throwing people who may or may not have honestly not seen a gun into jail because how dare they not applaud the shooting of yet another African-American man in town? Come on. Bob, this is not me. This is you. You are throwing the gauntlet down with the African-American community in this town. You basically are, it's not enough that another African-American man was shot. And once again, if you looked at the body cam image, the shooting was justified under state law. But it's the fact that now you want to lock up all of their friends and family and anyone else who dared not say what you wanted them to say. How dare you, you arrogant jerk? Wow. Seriously, wow. I thought you guys are trying to dispel the tension in this town. Now, Bob Kroll's going to just go get a few buses and start going up and on the street and say, well, did you think that Blevins had a gun? No, get in here. We're going to charge you with a crime. Or at least that's what he would like to happen. You want to know why this is not going to get any better anytime soon? Bob Kroll. That's why. And until we can figure out how we can confront an armed individual without firing off a platoon's worth of ammo, until we can go up and say, when you know, hey, sir, do you mind if we ask you a question, as opposed to, he's got a gun! We're going to continue to have these problems. And as long as we have these glowing rectangles in our hands, we're going to continue to get video footage of what is really going on out there. And once again, and can I make a point here about the body cameras? As much as the police and the police union have fought these things, in this case, that becomes the primary evidence to back you up. It does. It does. I guess we can only hope that the next time there's a shooting where there are a lot of questions of what exactly happened, those body cameras happen to be working at that point. That would have been nice. I don't know what in the world's going on here. I can say this. It's a tragic loss of life. And that's something that a lot of people in the authority figures don't want to even acknowledge. This is a tragic loss of life. It always is. Blevins, when he brandished the gun, he didn't really give the officers much of an option. But what I'm seeing here is a lot of training problems. I'm seeing a lot of firearms issues. And I'm seeing a police union chief who basically wants to force and order people into his mindset. Folks, this is only going to get worse in Minneapolis before it gets better. And a lot of reason why is Bob Kroll. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss. Really quick, Randy, I'm not going to have time for your call, but let's quickly take Mike in Columbia Heights here. Mike, I got about a minute and that's it.
I I watched both videos, and I got a lot of questions about the videos. But I look back 2 weeks ago, some 15-year-old boys, the Minneapolis cops, drew down on them in Minnehaha Park. Do you recall that?
Yep.
And they said that they were causing a disturbance and they had a weapon. So that kind of makes me question. Then the police take this proactive kind of training that they're getting now where they make them paranoid. Well, you know, how do you know a racist isn't calling up someplace around town saying, hey, there's a black man walking down the street with a gun? What are the probabilities that the cops are going to pull up and blow them away without any questions asked? Especially Graham versus Connor on the Supreme Court.
Well, and Mike, I got to let you go here, but what I will say is this. Considering that is happening all across this country where African-Americans are getting called, the police are getting called on African-Americans because they're black, is a real dangerous thing. You know, if this was in the white community, if this happened in YZ, there wouldn't be that much of a outrage because this stuff doesn't happen. We don't have African-Americans gunned down by police officers in YZ that often. And so if a white guy was in YZ, and I said African-American, but if a white guy was in YZ and got gunned down under the same circumstance, probably no one would say anything. But even here, where to a point, I agree with Freeman on the charges. I do. And I know that's not going to make me some friends, but at the same time, with the law as it's written, Freeman does not have any real options. The gun was out. You could see the gun. These officers took the shot. But I'm sure as heck not going to sit here and act as if there has never been any other issue ever in the city of Minneapolis with this situation. I am not going to sit here and say the way they approached Blevins at this point was appropriate. I'm not going to sit here and say 14 rounds fired in an urban environment where only four hit the target is somehow a good thing. And I'm sure as heck not going to condone Bob Kroll, who wants to pursue criminal charges against anyone who didn't think Blevins had a gun and some sort of mass lockup because they were guilty for being black. Nice job, Bob Kroll. Wow. I don't know where you go with this, but I can tell you right now, the steps that are being taken by the union boss in this time is they're doing more damage than good by far. 952-946-6205. When we come back, take a break. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your attorney general, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state.
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone. And I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your Attorney General, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for Governor.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Do your ceilings show signs of unwanted moisture? Is your home warmer than you want? This means your insulation needs a tune-up and you're leaking expensive air conditioning in the summer. Green Home Doctors analyze your home with specialized equipment and prescribe a remedy that will save you money and save you energy, no matter what the season. Take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy and make your home healthier today. Visit greenhomedr.com.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week, we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to The Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Story I covered to all those who keep sending me inappropriate pictures of Bigfoots. I don't need to see this, okay? I really do not need to see this, okay? There is far more indecent images of Bigfoot out there than one would imagine. I'm at a loss on that. I don't quite... send them to Hunter. Comment at am950radio.com.
Hey!
Hunter loves this stuff. Comment at am950radio.com. Send him all the inappropriate pictures of Bigfoot. 952-946-6205. Operation Open Wide is a great operation that was going on with Scott Shamblot, Shamblot Family Dentistry. Scott is kind enough to join us today to talk about the outcome of that operation. Scott, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Talk about, once again, what was Operation Open Wide?
Operation Open Wide is the day where we close the office to normal operations and just see veterans. This year we saw 16 vets.
Wow.
And each vet got about two and a half hours worth of appointment time. There were a lot of vets that needed extractions and dentures and things, and we took care of all their needs during that time. During that time, we did about $65,000 worth of free dental care for them.
I can say this, Scott, first of all, as a veteran, I want to just praise you. What a magnificent thing for you guys to do. As myself, having to deal with the VA system and stuff like dental care, I mean, it's incredibly difficult at times. Having that option, the not having to schedule up an appointment 9 months, 2 years in advance or something like that, having that option for these people, that was just wonderful. And a big round of applause to you and everyone at Shamblot Family Dentistry for doing that.
Thank you. So one of the things that I value most in life is my personal freedoms. And these men and women have sacrificed tremendously to try and preserve and protect my freedom and everybody else's freedom, and I at the debt I can never repay. So this is my attempt to begin paying it back.
Well, good for you, and that is a tremendous amount of work. And like I said, it's two and a half hours of dental work for each one of the 16 people you saw. Great job. I'm very impressed with that. And once again, as a veteran, I say thank you very much, because it's stuff like that goes a long, long way for veterans, especially when they're dealing with a system that it becomes difficult to work with.
Thank you.
Another thing I wanted to make sure we mention is that you are pushing right now 17 things you want to talk to your patients about in regards to dentistry and stuff like that. And there, it's a list of – where did this list of 17 things come from?
Mostly from personal experience. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've kind of just kept a mental track of things that I spend time educating patients on and sharing with patients. And one day I put pen to paper and generated the list.
And you ended up with 17. It's there are some interesting things that are on this list. Let's start off with one thing that I think is a real common perception is root canal, because everyone says, oh, root canal, I mean, this is going to be the most painful thing that possibly ever happened. Why don't you clarify a few of the misconceptions about when a root canal has to happen?
Well, when a root canal has to happen, it's usually because the nerve is affected, either dying or dead, from either decay, or a cavity that gets to the nerve, or there's a crack that has gotten to the nerve and the nerve has gotten injured. Those are the things that cause the need for a root canal. Now, if your tooth hurts going into a root canal, the recovery is going to be longer and more challenging. If we get to your tooth before it starts to hurt, the recovery is much gentler, much kinder, and it's a much better experience. So we try and be as proactive as we can, that as soon as we can make the diagnosis, we make the diagnosis, we treat it, and it's a much better experience. Mm-hmm. One of the things that also makes a huge difference for us is There's some medications that I can give patients that will make a huge difference, both prescriptions and over-the-counter meds that we give them. And the amount of difference it makes is tremendous. And as long as people follow the instructions we give them and take the meds and everything, it's a fairly pleasant experience. I myself had a root canal about a month ago, and I fell asleep during it, and I took Advil twice afterwards.
That's a pretty good turnaround. So that great information. That's good to hear, because I think that goes against everything I'd ever heard about them. That's solid. You also, one of your 17 points is piercings. Now, is it primarily tongue piercings or any kind of mouth piercing that you like to talk to these guys about?
Any kind of mouth piercing, I mean, including, you know, lips, both tongue and I'm starting to see a fair number of piercings under the tongue now. All those do just tremendous damage, because whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally, most people bang the piercing against their teeth and or chew on it or bite it. And usually the piercings are made out of, you know, stainless steel or surgical stainless steel. And that's a whole lot harder than your tooth is. And when you bite, something's going to give. And most of the time, it's your tooth. So my suggestion, take the piercings out. I know the reasons why people have them, but from a pure dental perspective, they're going to do a ton of damage. And repairing this damage is going to be fairly expensive, too. So if you can get them out, take them out. If you insist on keeping them in, switch to a plastic one. They're a little softer. They're a little kinder. You're not going to do quite as much damage.
One final of your 17 topics here, fluoride. Talk a little bit about that.
Fluoride is like armor plating for teeth against decay or cavities. When you have fluoride and when you're younger, it actually changes the chemical structure of your tooth into something that's much more resistant. So the more fluoride you can get, the more resistant your teeth are going to be. Now, as people age, our mouth gets drier, we start taking medications and things, and that makes our mouth even drier, so our need for fluoride goes up as we age. Mm-hmm. It's significant throughout life, but as we get older, it really starts to go up. So, as your mouth gets drier, you want more fluoride to help prevent the decay, because when your mouth gets dry, you can get a small amount of decay can appear pretty quickly, and it can turn into a huge problem in a very, very short period of time.
Obviously, you'd like to go over the full 17 with everyone out there. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with Shamblot Family Dentistry?
They can reach, our main phone number is 952-935-5599, or you can go to fixmyteeth.us on the internet.
fixmyteeth.us. Once again, on Operation Open Wide, what an absolutely wonderful thing your entire office did. Scott Shamblot, Shamblot Family Dentistry, helping out the veterans and obviously trying to help you out by giving you the information you need. fixmyteeth.us, fixmyteeth.us. Scott, thank you much for the time, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care. Scott Shamblot, Shamblot Family Dentistry, stopping on by with us today. And once again, I love promoting stuff like this. When they're helping the veterans, 16 veterans, $65,000 worth of dental work. Well done. A blessing indeed. Thank you, Scott. I do appreciate that. Doug Pagenin next. Till tomorrow. See ya.